God is good. Amen. You know, that song, Let My People Go, I never realized it was talking about trafficking. We prayed it for a year before I realized that. One day God told me, and I said, wow. And then Sister Barbara started telling us about trafficking, and then I started paying attention to that because I didn't know what was going on. And I really get upset with you young kids, you young girls sitting in here, because I was reading about a month ago where they're so much underground trafficking of young kids, little on up. And even though they're breaking up this underground trafficking of the kids are so messed up, they'll never be right. They've been used for every exploit there is. You know, okay, so they're not, they are being sexually abused and beat, whatever else they are. They're not right in their mind anymore. And you young girls, you sit in the house of God and you get disgusted with your parents, you get disgusted with me, and you get out there and you do things you shouldn't do. What would you do if somebody got you and took you underground and used you as a vessel for men and women to do whatever they wanted to with? You need to start really thinking about that. You young kids just need to be horsewhipped. Need to be taken, I'm serious, need to be taken to the woodshed because you don't know how good you have it. And I hope you don't have to find out the hard way how good you have it. It's about time the body of Christ starts addressing their kids. We're always talking about what grown-ups are doing. Well, what are you kids doing? And you don't seem to be ashamed of the fact you sit in the house of God and you won't serve God. You're rebellious to your parents. You're rebellious to anybody who's trying to help you. Well, I hope and pray to God you never get in the clutches of trafficking people. And since President Trump is in office, he's been uncovering how the people in the White House has been trafficking kids too. It's not a pretty scene. And I was thinking, you know, Wade versus Roe is just about ready to be overturned. And we really need to concentrate everything we have now on setting these kids free on the trafficking. We really need to hold up before God because it was through prayer that Wade versus Roe is being overturned. And I was telling Aaron, God told me that before President Trump was elected, he told me President Trump would be in office for two straight terms. And he told me during that time, Wade versus Roe would be overturned. And I can't remember the other thing he told me. The other thing's already happened. But he told me those three things anyhow. And so they've happened. Now, we must work on. Well, I've been praying about the trafficking. And I know you all have too. It's not a pretty picture. Even what you see, what parents do to their kids in their own homes is not a pretty picture. And we need to have God intervene and stop all this stuff. Amen. It's been going on forever, as long as I know. When I was in school, fathers were, the girls would drop out of school, and I'd say, why aren't they coming to school no more? And then I come to find out the fathers were abusing them sexually, and they had four or five kids to their dad. So they had to stay home and take care of the kids. It's sad. It's really sad. And we've really got to pray that we must pray that God intervenes here. And you young girls, I don't care if you get mad at me or not, you sit there and be upset with me all night, but you need to know the truth. You know the truth already. You're not walking in the truth. You're not walking in the liberty that you have. Maybe one day God will let you get in bondage. You never know what God's going to do to you. If he can't get your attention one way, he'll get your attention some other way. Believe me, I watch this all the time. And God said, they're going to know I'm God when I'm finished with them. And they do. And they wish they never went down the road they did. But they went down that road, even though they were warned not to. Amen? All right, I got that off my chest. Now I have to talk about the tub. I am not paying for the tub. I paid the $200 down payment. And now the five people that are going to use it, we talked about this, and you know, because they're going to the Y and doing the water stuff and everything. And so they're making the payments because otherwise we wouldn't have no tub. But I just wanted to clear that up. I really don't have that type of money. Amen. But they say it's really doing them good. It really is doing them good. And another reason why, you know, I even agreed to it is because my mother fell in the bathtub twice. If I'd had one then, she wouldn't have had that. and she had arthritis really bad, so it would have really helped her. And then Ted was in the home, and he fell in the bathtub. He kept saying, why don't you have a walk-in tub? And then Larry, whenever he died, he fell in the bathtub before he did because of, he just couldn't have this, didn't have the strength to stand up in the shower any longer. And see, so I have these three behind me, and so I'm looking what's in front of me, and I know that God's in control of the whole thing, but I don't pay for it. They do. Now I got that off my chest. So now we're going to just thank you, Father, for all that you did. Father, I just want to thank you for the song service this morning and this evening. You told me that you wanted us to rejoice right now. You want to build up our joy inside because we're going to need it for what's coming in the darkness in the days ahead. And Father, I just thank you that you always give us a heads up, and let us know what's coming. And I'm asking tonight, Father God, that you work on the people's hearts and you let them see, Father, exactly where they are at in you and where they are not at in you. And Father God, you change their hearts because only you can do this. And Father, take us up higher into the heavenly places and let us set up there with you, Father. And Father God, we give you all honor and all glory for just this beautiful day. And my children, I say unto you, this is a season of dire straits. And I am speaking to you this day to let you know that you have to stay close to the fire. You have to hold my hand. For the enemy surely is on the prowl, and he is surely trying to take you out and take you under. Some of you are going to heed this warning and this night, and some won't. But I say unto you, look up. Look up, for your redemption doth draw nigh, and a great and mighty battle is going on in the heavenlies over you. The atmosphere is full of war, but I tell you, as you take my hand and walk with me, I, the Lord your God, I will keep you safe. I will be with you wherever you go. I will lead, guide, and direct you in the right path. Take my hand tonight, very securely, and don't let go. The storms are going to be furious. They are going to be rough, and sometimes you're going to think they're going to blow you off of your feet, but you won't. They cannot touch as long as you stand close to the fire. Tonight, I'm calling you to get closer to me than ever before. I'm calling you to look up into my eyes. I'm calling you to hold tight to my everlasting arms. And be safe and secure in me. Father, I thank you and I praise you. I thank you and I praise you. I give you all honor and I give you all glory, Father. I read a story, I read a story the other day, and it was a story about peace. We're going to talk about peace tonight, but this story came across my email, and this lady said she had a dream. And in the dream, it might have been a man. I don't remember now. But Jesus came to her and said, I want you and I to go fishing. And the person said, but it's storming outside. He said, come on, that's when the fish bite the best. So they said they went to the sea, and the storm was really, really bad, about blowing them off their feet. But the person looked over to Jesus, and his hair wasn't blowing. His garments weren't blowing. And the person started edging over near Jesus. The closer they got to Jesus, the less their hair blew and the less their garments blew. And Jesus looked down at him and said, if you get really close, the storm can't touch you. So the person stepped as close to Jesus as they could, and the storm passed them on by. So this is, God just said tonight, if you draw close to me, the storms of life won't be able to take you out and won't be able to take you under. Because God is for us and not against us. Amen. All right, we're going to talk about peace. Faith crushes fear. Faith destroys worry. Faith demands results. And faith pleases God. There's somebody in here tonight, you've heard God's voice and you won't listen to God. You're going to go down a road you don't want to go. God is weeping over you right now, but you won't listen. You won't take heed to what he's saying. Don't blame God when you're down that road and you don't know which way to turn. Because tonight he's warned you. And you don't want the very best. You want second best of life. You want your will, not God's will. Father, we just thank you tonight. You know, if you're going to walk in peace, you have to have faith. Faith crushes fear. Faith destroys worry. Faith demands results, and faith pleases God. We know that the world has been undergoing some drastic changes, and God has been warning us for quite some time now what we were going to encounter. God has also been asking us to get under his umbrella of living peace and remain there. He has been asking us to draw close and stay there. Some have not yet done that. I don't know what you're waiting on. You just might miss God altogether. Colossians chapter 1, verse 19 says, "For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him." Talking about this him is Jesus. "And through him to reconcile everything to himself by making peace through the blood of his cross, whether things on earth or things in heaven." So we as God's people should be walking in huge amounts of peace because Jesus is a Prince of Peace. Jesus is a Prince of Peace. And we need to wrap ourselves in his garment of perfect peace. Brother Allen, God gave you a forewarning this morning. I prayed for you this afternoon because it's going to be bad. But, you know, if you take this peace message tonight and get into your spirit, God will bring you through it. He'll be with you all the way through it. God will be sending us into areas where there is great turmoil and strife. Some of you already have that in your workplaces, but it's even going to get worse. In Joel chapter 2, God has spoken about Joel's army that he is going to release. And God's taught us about that. It will be a new breed of supernatural believers that will do great exploits in this hour. And I believe with that video that I sent out for you to watch, that guy talked about that the children that are going to be born right now in the mother's wombs are going to be supernatural children when they come out of the womb, and they're going to do great exploits for the Father. Now, Sister Barbara made a transcript of that that videotape, and if anybody wants one, if you raise up your hand, she'll give it to you. It's a transcript of that video. I want to thank you, Barbara, for doing that, because like Aaron said, it's so wonderful to have it right there in front of your face. You gave it to them. Yeah, raise your hands if you want a transcript of it, and so you see what he said. This man died. He went to the dentist and he died in the dentist chair. He was in heaven with Jesus for 5 hours, and Jesus talked to him about COVID-19. The COVID-19 has nothing to do with heaven; it's strictly of the devil. But he tells us so many important things that you really have to get down into your spirit. And God had given him assignments, and God told, I think his name's David, isn't it? That he had 13 years. That was it 13? 11 years. 11 years, wasn't it? To complete these assignments that God has given him. Now, it doesn't mean 11 years Jesus is going to come back. But that was just, he was going to, had to complete these assignments in 11 years. Don't read that while we're teaching, but take it home, please. And Barbara went to a lot of work to get this together because she thought it was so important that the body of Christ have this. Did everybody get one at once one now? Okay. I know that we're talking about the army in Joel chapter 2. I know that this army will be marked by the peace of God that it will carry into the battlefield. See, if you get the peace of God in you, you can go to any battle because you will know with surety of heart that God is in control in the middle of the battle and he's going to bring you through it. But if you don't know that, if you don't know his peace, you're not going to be able to go through any battle because every battle will take you out. And you have to understand too, each battle that you encounter is worse than the one you just came out of. I think we've all witnessed that, right? This army will be so secure in their commander-in-chief Jesus, all right, that even though they walk through the valley of the shadow of death, they fear nothing. And see, right now the body of Christ is so full of fear, it's unreal. But these new children that God's bringing forth are going to be brave and spiritual, and they're going to do great exploits. All right, this army, they will just release the peace and love of God to the nations. God is pouring out his living peace upon the church like never before. It is available right now today. The world is searching for true peace and rest. The world is searching for true peace and rest. We as believers have the great honor to walk in God's peace and share it with the world. We as believers have the great honor to walk in God's peace and share it with the world. The only way we will be able to minister is out of a posture of peace and rest. You can't minister if you're not walking in peace, because you'll start talking and out will come all your garbage. And you have to be walking in peace and rest. In Mark 4:35 says, on that day when evening had come, Jesus said to them, let us go across to the other side. And leaving the crowd, they took with them in the boat. And leaving the crowd, they took Jesus with them in the boat, just as he was. And other boats were with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat, so that the boat was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion, and they woke him and said to him, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? And he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And Jesus said to them, why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith? And they were filled with great fear and said, what were they filled with? Great fear, and said to one another, who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? That same Jesus that was in the boat with the disciples is the same Jesus that's in the boat with you, no matter what you're going through in this life. I'm hearing God say there's no difference. You were his disciples, just as the 12 were his disciples. And he will get into your boat and go with you. And you don't have to walk in fear. Jesus and his disciples were all in the storm together, but their response was much different than Jesus's. The disciples were totally messed up because Jesus was asleep. Jesus addressed the situation from a position of peace and rest. Do you think that Jesus did not know that this storm was going to come up when he went to sleep? Of course he did. And do you think that he didn't know they were going to get upset when the storm came up? Of course he did. But he was teaching them a lesson. To be at peace and rest, no matter what, how big the storm. God told me one time, daughter, every time a storm comes, run to the eye of the storm. Because at the eye of the storm, he said, there's perfect peace and calm and security. Then I found out that's true. When a hurricane? When it's the eye, they call it the eye of the storm. So why don't we run to the eye of the storm instead of running helter-skelter everywhere? To our cell phones. To our spouses, to our friends. You know what I'm saying? We need to run to Jesus, because he's the only one that knows the right answer to everything you go through. There is a heavenly authority that we walk in when we, like Jesus, minister out of the position of peace. There will always be storms that will come our way, but God's word promises that in Romans 16:20. I said there will always be storms that will come our way, but God's word promises that the God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet, and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Who is going to do that? The God of peace. If you let every trial and tribulation that comes your way get you all in a tizzy, you're not in peace. And when you feel that you're not in peace, you need to stop immediately, be quiet. You get calm and pray and don't move, don't do anything until peace surrounds you. Because if you get out there and start walking in your flesh, the devil's going to beat you up every time. But when you're walking in perfect peace, Jesus is with you and the devil can't touch you. All right. Science has discovered that many of the illnesses that we face today can be traced to fear, anxiety, stress, and worry. Jesus desires that our entire being be made whole. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23 says, "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it." Could there be a power in God's peace that promotes healing in our entire being? We know that the God of peace crushed Satan under our feet, and we know that through the blood, the Prince of Peace touches our spirit, soul, and body. You need to quit every time the enemy throws something at you. You need to quit complaining. You need to say, "I wish he'd stop." You need to tell him to stop. Not wish he'd stop, but you need to tell him to stop, right? You need to stop. You need just to stop and be still. What does God say? When you've done all to stand, stand. Peace, be still, he'll say to you. I don't know how many of you really hear God's voice, but if you're really all, you know, everything's going wrong, you will hear that still small voice that says, "Peace, be still. I'm with you. Peace, be still." And then you have to listen. You have to obey what he says. It doesn't matter. You don't know what the outcome's going to be. You might think it's going to be one way, but God knows which way it's going to be. All right? Let God be God in your life. Get in perfect peace and stay there. Mark 5:34 says, "And he said to her, 'Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace, healed of your disease.'" Paul imparted peace to the early church. When Paul began building the church, he suffered many amazing challenges. And 2 Corinthians 11:23 tells us, "Are they servants of Christ? I am a better," this is Paul speaking, "I am a better one. I am talking like a madman with far greater labors, far more imprisonments with countless beatings and often near death." This is what Paul had to go through for Christ. "Five times I received at the hands of the Jews the 40 lashes, less one. Three times," can you imagine? You know, we watched Jesus go through it one time. Paul went through it five times. Paul didn't ask to follow Christ. God zonked him on the head on the road. And Paul followed Christ. He says, "Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Three times," can you imagine being stoned even? "Three times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I was adrift at sea. On frequent journeys, in danger from rivers, danger from robbers, danger from my own people, danger from Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false brothers." This is Paul who's serving God and encouraging his people. He said, "In toil and hardship, through many a sleepless night, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure, and apart from other things, there is a daily pressure on me of my anxiety for all the churches." See, he had all his own personal problems, and then he was concerned about the churches he had brought forth. "Who is weak, and I am not weak, and I am not weak? Who is made to fall, and I am not indignant?" That was what Paul said. Now, as I look around this room, there's not one person here would fill this criteria. You could not go through everything that Paul went through and still write letters in prison encouraging people. A lot of you, God said, you'd drop the hat at the first little trial. Come on. What are you fussing about? Many of the letters Paul wrote to the early church were written from behind prison bars. In Philippians 4:4 says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts, your minds in Christ Jesus." Paul knew how to live with a kingdom perspective. When I was very young, I used to always go to church, and I'd We went to a little Baptist church. We lived in the country, and we'd walk to church, and I'd always make my brothers and sisters get up, get dressed, and go where they wanted to go or not, you know. And then we'd go down the road, and we'd gather the kids as we went. And finally, the pastor said to me, "Barbara, you've got to quit. We don't have enough room for all these kids you bring into the house." It was a little tiny church. But one Sunday when I come home, there was a little box sitting out in the porch, and the screen door was closed, and my stepmother said, "That's your clothes. You can no longer live here." And I think I was 8, somewhere around then, and I was the oldest. Next to the oldest, my older sister had already been moved down. And I said, "Where are we going to go? What are we going to do?" And she said, "I don't care where you go. I don't care what you do, but you can no longer live here." So I took the kids. We walked down the hill because we lived up on a hill, and we stood down there in that little country road. And all the kids were crying. My brother and sister were crying. And they said, "What are we going to do?" And, you know, a perfect peace came over me because, you know, I was young. I didn't have wisdom. And I just said, "I'm going to go call our Sunday school teacher." So I went to the neighbors and used a phone. She came and picked us all up, and we were all put in different homes. But a perfect peace came over me because somebody had to have wisdom and had to wit about themselves, or we'd have been standing there forever. But see, God gave me perfect peace, and He made sure we all had a good home to be sent to. That's why I don't like to see anybody homeless, because I've been homeless many times. And I know what it's like not to have no place to lay your head. And Jesus didn't have any place to lay His head either, did He? It's what it says in the Word. He didn't have a home. People built rooms under their houses so He could sleep there. See, everything you go through, I keep saying this, is for a purpose. Somewhere in your life, God will use what you went through. And it's usually the hard things. He will use what you went through to help somebody else and give them hope. So quit being mad at God. God didn't tell her to do that. The devil did. You know? So it wasn't God's fault. It was the devil's fault. Did I leave church? No, I stayed in church. All my life I've been in church. Just got born again in the 70s. But my God has always been in control of my life. He made me think today, I died 10 times in my lifetime, and I forgot everything. I didn't remember all that. But He showed me all the different times I died, and He brought me back. I mean, I was literally pronounced dead. So God's always been with me. You know, what a testimony. What a testimony. And when you have testimonies like that, and you know, you hear people cuss God, you know, and use His name in vain, and you know, and say there is no God, and you like to walk up and poke them in the nose. They don't know what they're talking about, but yet they'll give the devil all the glory because they work for the devil. Let people know that you serve a Father who loves you. You know, Jesus didn't have it easy when He walked the earth either. He had a hard time. It tells you that in the Bible. He suffered. I feel sorry for the people sitting in the house of God and won't give God the honor that's due Him. I really do. That's why you don't have any peace. I was reading the Bible today where it said that Jesus never did any exploits until after He was baptized with the Holy Spirit. And, you know, I never thought about that, but that is how it worked. It wasn't until He's baptized with John the Baptist that His ministry started and the miracles started happening. Excuse me. So could it be that the reason why you don't have perfect peace or even any peace is because you really don't have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is not leading, guiding, and directing you? You know, you don't have anybody there to lead, guide, and direct you. It's the Holy Spirit. Jesus Himself said, "When I go away, I'm going to send you another helper, and He's going to lead you into all truth." Right? So there's another problem. There's a lot of pastors in the body of Christ, too, who don't have the Holy Spirit. But people follow them anyway. And they don't follow you. They don't lead you in the right path. They lead you down the wrong path. So you have to make sure that you take care of your own salvation. Don't rely on some pastor to get you to heaven, because it won't work. You rely on Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the Holy Spirit, the Word. That's what's going to lead, guide, and direct you into heaven. Paul knew how to live with a kingdom perspective. See, the body of Christ doesn't know how to do that either. They look too much at the things that go on in the world, right? Even though the situations that Paul often found himself in appeared to be dim, Paul looked through the eyes of the Spirit and knew that God was working all things in his life for the glory of the Lord. Paul looked through the eyes of the Spirit and knew that God was working all things in his life for the glory of the Lord. This allowed Paul to walk in a greater amount of peace and impart that peace to others. What kind of eyes are you looking through? Are you looking through the eyes of the Spirit? Or are you looking through your eyes of the flesh and what's going on around about you is real and you're not looking at the kingdom of situations? You're not allowing the Holy Spirit to show you the truth in all things. You know, sometimes people are doing bad things because they're bound. And God will use you to keep pouring love into them and pouring peace, speaking peace into them until God can get them to the place where he can get them straightened out. Then there's other people who are in sin. God won't let you speak any peace or any love whatsoever into them. Why? Because they have no desire whatsoever to serve God. And God does not want to work with them. I've encountered that many, many times. So you can't make God make somebody serve God. God said to me one time, why do you keep trying to make these people serve me? If I can't do, God can't do it, the Holy Spirit can't do it, why do you think you can? He said, all you have to do is give them the word, and then the Holy Spirit will do the rest of the work. So, you know, and I'm hearing God say, you have encountered hard foreheads before, but you're going to encounter more that are going to be harder now as the days grow darker. This is where you have to be walking in the Spirit so you know who to minister to and who not to minister to. Because you can waste a lot of God's valuable time ministering to somebody who just is never going to serve God. And God knows who those people are. All right, then Paul anchored his life in Colossians 3, chapter 3, verse 1. Paul says, if then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Now remember, Paul was in prison as he wrote this question. If then, is his question, you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Now, he was in prison when he asked him that question. Some of you, if you were in prison, you would say, just forget him. Don't give him any mind. He put me in prison. He's keeping me here. Really, you would. I've heard it. Well, God didn't show up and do this thing for me, so there is no God, and he doesn't listen to prayer. Yes, he does. Yes, he does. And he's already talked to you, and you shunned his voice, and so he's going to let you go ahead and go through your mud pie that you made. And whenever you're really sick and tired of the sin that you're in, then when you cry out to God, he might be there. I said, might, because that's what I heard, because there's some that when you cry out to God, it's going to be too late. God already told us that a couple years ago. He begged us to come close to him then. And he said, because whenever you do cry out, I won't be there. You can't sit in the house of God year after year after year and hear the truth and live in sin and expect God to keep agreeing with you. You can't do that. you are not insured a seat in heaven. I'm going to tell you that right now. Once saved, always saved is a lie. The Word of God says you have to work out your own salvation, trembling each and every day. All right? You see, the reason why you believe the lies is because you don't know the Word. And the person that's given the Word doesn't live it. So they twist it to suit whatever they know you want to hear. That is not going to make a place in heaven for you. All right, how was it possible for Paul to encourage the churches to imitate him? Because Paul had already died to himself. And the problem with the body of Christ is you still have not died to yourself. You still want to hold that little piece of meat to satisfy your flesh. Right on, the first day I was born again, God said to me, daughter, I'm going to tell you right now, I don't want 99.9% of you. I want 100% of you, or we can't work together at all. Right then and there, I gave him 100% of myself. And God has worked through me mightily all the days of my life. But I still have to die out to that piece of flesh. The devil keeps coming in there, and he keeps trying to make me take a little bit of flesh. I'm not going to do that. I don't fight heaven. I tell the devil where he's going to go, and I'm going to keep serving God 100% because I don't want any part of me in the mix, right? Come on. Too many of you sitting in here today, you have not yet died out 100% to God. You think you have, but you haven't, and that's why you're going through the turmoil that you're going through. All right, so I said, because Paul had already died to himself and the life he was living was in Christ, allowing him to walk in amazing peace and joy. Paul even shares that his imprisonment is actually helping to spread the gospel. Do you ever think of that? All right, you know, so you have sickness in your body, but still and all the people watch you walk through the door smiling and you're happy and you're just, your body is racked with pain. That I look at you and say, God, you're doing great things in him. And the people here that know you, they said, we can't believe how he gets out of a bed and comes in here with his body racking with pain all the time. It's causing us, our faith to be built up. And, you know, God keeps saying, I'm going to heal him. The crown of his head to his soul, I'm going to take every bit of pain away from him. And see, and you're believing and trusting him. And so really, we're watching you to see how you're reacting to what's going on in your body, because God's not doing that to your body. Amen. Through the hardships and blessings, Paul learned the discipline of being content in all circumstances. How many of you had to yank yourself up by your ears and say, be content? Right? I do. Barbara, straighten up. You have to be content. This is another circumstance. You have to be content. You have to understand that God's in control. I talk to myself all the time. Make myself straighten up. Nobody else is going to encourage me. Right? You have to do it yourself. It says encourage yourself in the Lord. All right, this kingdom mindset allowed Paul a greater ability to see God's perspective in everything, allowing him to walk in peace and rest. Every letter Paul wrote to the churches had this statement in it, grace and peace to you. Paul was releasing and imparting peace to the early church. He wanted to encourage young Timothy, do not worry, my son, press on and do not let anyone despise your youth. You'll find that in 1 Timothy. And he said, walk in peace. And see, this is it. All right, so God's called you to ministry, all right? And you're just all excited and full of joy, and you go out there, and the first thing somebody does is slap you in the face and say, sit down. You know? And so because you're not walking in peace, you sit down and you go home in the ball and squall. And I know that's happened to a lot of you, and it happened to me when I was so excited, you know, and God was telling me all these great and wonderful things, and the pastor would tell me to sit down and shut up. Why? Because they weren't walking in the Spirit, and God was revealing all this. He called me for purpose, and so I was anointed right out of the chute, you know. And they didn't understand that, so they didn't know how to handle me, so they just told me to sit down. I mean, I was sitting, but they told me to be quiet. And then they told everybody, don't pay no attention to her because she's of the devil. You know, it's amazing what the church will do because they don't understand. Amen. All right, so Paul wanted to encourage young Timothy, do not worry, my son. Press on and do not let anyone despise your youth. Walk in peace. So I'm telling each one of you in here, so you open your big mouth and say, here I am, Lord, use me. And like God told me when everybody came against me, I said, God, what's this all about? He said, I heard you when you said, use me, and this goes along with it. You just thought everybody's going to love you, didn't you? Well, I'm sorry, the body of Christ doesn't work that way. They're jealous. They have envy, strife, all kind of malice. So you're going to have to be content with God. Give him your 100% of yourself, and you've already died. And so you don't care what they say. You know what God's called you for to do, and you're doing it. All right, Paul shared with Titus, I left you in Crete to appoint elders. Yes, you will have opposition, but I impart to you grace and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Savior. He said, Titus, I left you in Crete to appoint elders. Yes, you will have opposition, but as I impart grace and peace from God and the Father and Christ Jesus our Savior. He's saying, as long as you walk in that grace and in that peace, you can make it. When you started Women's Aglow, you had a lot of opposition. But you learned to walk in that grace and the peace, and look where everything's going today. So you could have been a spoiled little brat throwing a fit, stomping your feet and carrying on, and then you'd be out the door, right? I won't tell you what she did at home because I don't really know, but I know it wasn't perfect peace. I know her. Amen. Come on. You know, if you have to throw a tantrum, do it behind closed doors. Don't do it in front of the body of Christ, right? Go behind closed doors and just tell God what you think about the whole thing, and then tell him you're sorry you threw your tantrum, and then go ahead and get it over with. Amen. Because if you throw your tantrum out in public, you're going to lose any influence that God would have you to have. All right? Just as Paul prayed and released peace to the early church, the Lord Jesus prayed for his disciples to walk in peace in John 16. And John 16:33 says, Jesus said, I have said this to you so that in me you may have peace. In the world you face persecution, but take courage, I have conquered the world. If you can remember that God has already conquered the world, you'll be able to walk in perfect peace. If you're living in a household of a bunch of stupid people, you know, they're still allowing the enemy to use them. You can live in that house in perfect peace, smiling to yourself. And they say, what's the matter with you? You're going crazy, walking around with a smile on your face. You know, you will be like Paul said, and like Jesus tells us, you may have peace in the world. You will face persecution, but take courage. I have conquered the world. What I say is that to myself, devil, you're already defeated, and you know it, and I know it, and that's why I can smile, and that's why I can endure the hardship, because God is in control, not me. And devil, you're definitely not in control either. You have to say that. You have to take care of your vessel. Even if I lived with you, I couldn't take care of your vessel. Jesus lives inside of you, so he can take care of your vessel. The Holy Spirit should be there, and he can take care of your vessel, but another human being cannot. I can't make you do what you don't want to do. The Holy Spirit doesn't even try to make you do what you don't want to do. He's a gentleman. He'll just walk away and let you mess up. How many of you can honestly say he's let you do your thing and let you mess up? And one time I messed up, and God said, daughter, don't get upset over that. And I wasn't, but everybody said, you need to be upset over that. So after an hour, everybody tell me that. I said, you know what? I do need to be upset about that. And God said, daughter, don't go there. Don't go there. And I told God, I will if I want to. He said, okay, you go ahead. for 1 year. The only time I thought the Spirit of God is when I was behind the pulpit. He let me go. I learned a lesson that I will never forget. You don't need to go there. You're not of the world. You're of heavenly places, all right? I don't care what other people do. You don't go there. God wants his church to enter into his... I know you've done that too. God wants his church to enter into his peace because he desires for you to be a carrier of his peace to a world without hope, a world walking to despair, stress, and anxiety. I like to get on Barbara because, you know, God told me how to keep her in line, so I keep her in line. God wants his church to enter into his peace because he desires for you to be a carrier of his peace to a world without hope, a world walking to despair, stress, and anxiety. He wants us so much of his, he wants so much of his peace upon you that atmospheres would literally be changed as you and Jesus enter a room. You and Jesus. Amen. Come on. I told you a story about when I went to my aunt's funeral, and the, you know how they make funeral homes a little dark, you know. And when I walked through the door, somebody, everything in there got really quiet. And I wasn't preaching in, but I was born again, and everybody said, "Who is that that just walked in?" And my daddy was standing back by the casket, and he kept looking and looking, and everybody said, "Who is that?" And when I walked up real close to my daddy, he said, they called me Jimmy. "It's just Jimmy." And they said, "That's Jimmy." But I didn't walk into that room alone. Jesus walked in there and changed the atmosphere. Are you understanding this? I didn't know that then, but I know it today. But it wasn't just me that walked into the room. It was Jesus. Do you do that? Do you change your atmosphere when you walk into places? Remember I told you when I used to work at the college, they used to come and sit down in a chair by my desk, and they said it was just peaceful. Jesus, I feel like an angel must have been sitting in that chair all that time. But the angel wouldn't have been sitting there if I didn't carry peace of my own. Are you understanding this? This is not bragging. I'm trying to teach you something. You can carry peace wherever you go. You can still the storm wherever you go. There's a new gentleman now coming to my house. I mean, he doesn't live there or anything, but he just comes to visit. And he said, "I'm scared to death of your grandmother." And he doesn't even know me. He just saw, I just walked by him one day, said, "Hi, how are you?" And he said, "I'm scared to death of her. I don't, what is it about her? I'm just afraid of her." See, he doesn't walk by me, he walks by Jesus, right? And the spirit, that devil that's in him, is scared to death of the Spirit of God that's in me. You know, I carry the Spirit of God with me. That's the way you should be. Come on. Some of you don't do that though, do you? Remember the one guy who just came over to my house that night and the devil's work had consumed him. Remember that? And he kept wanting to attack Brett. And I said, "Brett, why the devil's..." He was running from me, the devil was, but he wanted to attack Brett. It chased him across the yard. I said, "Brett, why the devil's always want to attack you?" Then I found out he had a problem in him, in a fragment or something in him. And so that devil was in that guy, was fighting that little fragment that was in him. That devil was in that guy, was bigger than your fragment. And he wanted to beat you up. But he was scared to death of me, tore my porch, my railing off my porch, trying to get away from me. That devil did. Come on, guys. This is the way we're supposed to walk. We're supposed to be devil chasers. Every place you go, the devil should run from you. Amen? The same guy, he's married to my... Well, they're separated now to a member of my family, but I went to walk in the room, in their bedroom, and he ran through the window. Jumped straight through the window. And I said to him, I said, why did you, because you messed my window. I said, why did you do that? He said, that thing in me can't stand you, scared to death of me, of you. And it told me to get away, so I jumped through the window. But see, I mean, that's okay, because that's the way you should be. You shouldn't be afraid of the devil. He should be afraid of you. Come on. Church, God's trying to get you ready for what's coming down the road. And if you walk in fear and you don't have the Holy Spirit dwelling in you richly, you're not going to make it. Truth. I lost my place. Numbers chapter 6, verse 22 says, the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, thus you shall bless the people of Israel. You shall say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. That's what Moses was supposed to speak over the people. That's what we need to speak over people every time we pray for them. Speak the peace of God. I spoke the peace of God over Alan because he's going to go through something. I said to myself, I'm sitting here, I said, I feel so sorry for you because God told me I was going to go through something. I'm going through it. It's not nice. It's not nice. You know, God told me that the enemy's throwing his last thrust at the ones that he's really going to use, trying to take you out. This is the last big battle you're going to go through. So get yourself prepared. Make sure you're walking in perfect peace and let the enemy rage because he cannot take you out. All right? He cannot take you out. Tonight, we need to step out of stress, worry, anxiety, and hopelessness and step over into deep peace, the deep peace of God that surpasses all understanding. Some of you came here in here tonight, no peace at all, and you still don't have any peace. I can see it on your face. You're worried and concerned about everything, and you're even questioning whether what I'm even saying is truth. It's in the Word. I just read the Word to you. It was the Word I was teaching. It wasn't my words. It's God's words. It's up to you. Are you going to walk in peace? And you young girls in here. Or does God have to let a trafficker grab you and take you down underground and use you and abuse you before you get your act together? You know, that's God's question to you tonight. Are you going to go ahead and give God 100% of yourself and quit your foolishness? Growing up, you're the same way. You need to quit the junk you're doing and give God 100% of yourself. Why do you keep that little bit that's going to take you to hell? That little fragment's going to take you straight to hell. God wants all of you, every bit of you. I was reading an article, and it was talking about generational curses, and they said that you don't have to receive generational curses. You can refuse them. And when I was young, I remember saying, because my stepmother was an alcoholic, I said, I'll never, ever drink alcohol. And I'll never, ever leave a husband, even if he's not right, we're not right together. I will always keep a roof over my kid's head. I said all these things, so I didn't receive any of those generational curses. What I saw going on in my parents and my grandfather, I said, I will never, and even my stepmother, I will never do those things. So right there I found out as I was reading this article, I broke the generational curse. I did it by saying I wasn't going to do that. And then when I did each thing I said, God, and I didn't even know this. It had to be the Spirit. I make a covenant with you that I will never do these things. And I never did them. So you don't have to say, well, you know, my father did it, my mother did it, and this one did it. You can break the generational curses yourself. You can stop them right in their tracks. You have to say, no, devil, I'm not ever going to go down that road with you ever again. I don't care if my parents did it because they didn't know any better. I don't care if my preacher did it because he didn't know any better. I don't care who did it. I am not going to go down that road. That's all you have to do. That's all you have to do. It's that simple. But we make everything too complicated. And as I was coming to work today, to church today, you know, the woman with the issue of blood, Skip, did they tell you they brought me a Skippy bottle of peanut butter and set it on my desk? But I about forgot your name. But God said she had faith. If she just touched his garment, she would be healed. He said, if my people would get that kind of faith, they can still touch his garment and still be healed. You can be delivered, set free if you have enough faith and press in. You have to press in and touch his garment. Everything that you don't want, he'll take out of you. Come on, you lazy bunch of people. Well, sign me up for deliverance. I'm what you say, get out, get out, get out, get out. Well, I sit there and puke and cry. Now, please, if you have a deliverance appointment, don't cancel it. But you see what I'm saying? They do their job, but you're going to have to do your job too. You just cannot sit by and let somebody else do this stuff because you have to do your part. I'm hearing God say, you have to labor, but some of you labor in vain because you really don't believe the word. You don't believe the truth that he's placed out there before you. All right. Tonight, what God wants to do is he wants to take all worry and stress and anxiety out of you. And he wants to drop his perfect peace in you so that you will be good witnesses for him in the days that are coming upon this earth. Dark days. And he's saying when the darkness does come, it won't touch you. It will have no place in you because you will be resting and you will be secure in perfect peace in his everlasting arms. Are you listening here?